This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Welcome to Force of Light Entertainment. I'm your host, Michelle, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my sister, Natalie.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes.
Good morning.
Whenever you're watching this.
Afternoon.
Yes. Thank you for joining us today, and this is episode 52 of Force of Light Entertainment. And if you have not yet and you are listening on podcasts, please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, give us a review, and also leave us a kind review in Apple Podcasts. That is always great. And if you are watching or listening, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on YouTube, because we do, just as we did, we just did a short live stream video on the Star Wars holiday special. So we do some exclusives that are just on YouTube. So even you listening on podcast, definitely subscribe to us over there too.
And as the YouTubers say, smash that like button.
Yes. Yes. If you're watching, smash the like button for sure. And I want to let you guys know that we are going to try to get this up tonight on YouTube, this Friday night. But tomorrow morning, and we will put the link in there, tomorrow morning, we are going to have the guys from Star Wars Sessions. They're going to be joining us tomorrow at 11 a.m. for our live stream.
Woo-woo.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun, so definitely join us live or check it out after if you have something to do. But we're going to be discussing The Mandalorian thus far and kind of just Star Wars in general, what we would love to see, maybe projects, TV projects in the future. So definitely join us for that too. Well, today we are going to be talking about Chapter 12 of The Mandalorian, The Siege. So join the conversation and let's talk The Mandalorian. All right. So initial thoughts. All right. Okay, for starters, we basically called last week what was going to happen.
We did.
Except we did say we thought we would get a glimpse of Ahsoka.
And we did not.
We did not. So that's why we say possibly next on next
we
week's
say
episode.
Possibly maybe
yeah.
On next week's episode.
So we did get that.
It's a segment at this point.
But we got most of it right.
Yes.
So my initial thoughts on this episode is it was one of my favorites of the season.
Yeah.
And I realized again, I've said this before, Star Wars is so much about the gang, the crew, the friendships.
Yes.
And that's why it was so nice, and we'll get into them a little more later, but to see the crew back together, which by the end of last season, we knew who this crew is in The Mandalorian, that being Mando, Baby Yoda, but also Greef Karga and Cara Dune. I mean, they just have a great dynamic. That is the trio in this, the three adults. And it's just, you realize how much you missed them when you went to enlist or watch this show. They just made it so much. Like I said, I can't decide. Natalie, I think episode 2 is still your favorite.
I loved episode 2.
We are some of the rare ones that absolutely loved it.
And it's almost like I feel weird even saying that to everybody, because I know it was like a controversial a lot of people, even if it wasn't controversial, they just didn't really like it, I guess.
Or they just thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But I
just appreciated how different it was, you know?
I loved episode 2. My order right now, and people are going to be like, what? My order would probably be episode 4, 2, 3, and 1.
Yeah.
And I thought 3 was amazing, but I loved this episode, getting back with Greef and Cara Dune, so.
Yeah, I mean, I miss the gang, like you said. And,
Yes. You
know, we'll get into that in our possibly maybe next week on The Mandalorian at the end. But, let's say I want to see more of them for sure.
Oh, definitely. Love them together. So I loved this episode. As I said, I think
very strong episode.
We'll see. I think right now it was my favorite. And it definitely made me the most nervous in one scene of any of the episodes thus far. I just absolutely loved it. So that is that. So we'll move into kind of the opening scene. And the cold open, you've got Mando trying to get his ship, his very damaged ship, to work
his
again.
What, Jill?
Damaged ship.
Oh.
Did you really think I just said that? I did not say that.
You sound like you said the other SH word.
Did I? I don't think I did.
You've been known to say that on accident.
I mean, I don't think I did, but if I did, I meant to say ship, clearly.
It's fine, I'm joking.
Now I'm like, but what did I say?
I think you said ship.
Okay.
I think you did.
Okay. I think I did. That's definitely what I meant to say. So
we'll, I know, Shelly.
We'll move on. So now she's got me flustered. But anyways, so you've got Baby Yoda, and it's just so funny when you see Baby Yoda has crawled back into the spot that only a tiny child, like infant, could fit back into.
Like, I quickly realized it was, like, out of necessity. Like, only you can fit back there. Please try and do this for me.
And you see in it, one, it's hysterical, the whole scene. But you see in it how intelligent the child is.
Yes.
I know we call him Baby Yoda, and he even coos like a toddler, but yet his
intelligence... Like a baby. Really.
Like a baby. But yet his intelligence is more, as they call him, a child.
Yes.
Like an intelligent child.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't quite figure out where to put the blue and the red, but he could even... It was just too complicated of instructions.
Well, and I will say, I would have gotten confused when it's like, if you hadn't really paid attention pulling him out, he's like, now put the red one where the blue one was. It's like, you really kind of have to think about that.
And he would kind of look, and he even put the blue one in the blue one. No, don't do that. And just, no, they're there. And then you're like, oh gosh, when he starts putting them together, shoom.
His little hairs.
Yeah, and then he coughed because there's smoke. He's like, are you okay? But it was just so funny and cute. But again, it does show us about
him
his character.
Was trying.
He was trying. And I mean, he gets an A for effort, guys. I mean,
That's true. He
did a good job. I mean, he truly is an intelligent little guy.
He's a good sport.
He is a good sport. And so then, of course, that leads, we then go into, before the, it was kind of two scenes in the cold open, really. Because then you move to three kind of scummy guys, kind of sieging what is left in the Mandalorian underlayer area on Nevarro. And we get our first glimpse of this season of Cara Dune.
Yay!
And Cara Dune, just like a boss, begins to take these people out. And I love, because there's some things that they really allow, since Gina Carano was, of course, an MAA fighter, they allow those traits to come out in the fighting style.
Because, this is excellent.
Yes, because like Mando, for instance, they're never going to have him grab with the legs and flip over.
Right.
Like that truly is a like MMA fighting like technique. Like kind of jiu-jitsu type.
And that's something so cool about her background to be able to utilize that.
It is.
She can.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the men can't even.
Yes,
you know?
Totally. That's what, I mean, if you're comparing to the MCU, that's how they make almost kind of Black Widow, kind of her type of fighting. But it's just a cool fighting style. And I think
Gina probably doesn't even have to train much. She's like,
no.
I already know how to do this. This is easy for me.
Yeah, and I think it's very effective for, it's very believable with a female character when they know how to use the legs and do it so fast. Like, it just makes it more believable than, say, a little stick figure woman, like, doing karate.
Exactly.
Because women do this in MMA and in this type of fighting. So.
I think what we're saying, she has the body type for it as well. It's very believable and
realistic.
Well,
she does. But I think what I'm saying is, I think more than, like, just doing karate, that style actually works.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Legitimately can do the job.
Right.
And so it's just awesome. Gina Carano is this character.
I think it inspired my daughter again to want to check out jiu-jitsu.
She probably should. And I even like how she takes the knife and boom, just flings it over at him. And
I'm going to say it. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Michelle said I had permission to say that she was a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
For those of you that remember Ludacris' song.
That's what she was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she just, like, she is. She's bad to the bone. I mean.
In the best way.
Yeah. Like, you can't. I mean, just even the way, like, what is she knocks the one guy out.
Yeah.
I don't know, just like boom.
And then she uses one as a body shield that she's already gotten.
And
you know?
And then,
like,
throws
it back
him.
Into him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's awesome.
She's epic.
So, and then, of course, she saves a little creature that looked almost like a Star Wars ferret.
My daughter was like, oh.
Yeah, that they were going to kill. And she's like, go away. Because he's like, it's like me with an animal.
Yeah, it's also like Michelle with an animal.
I really relate to Cara Dune.
But then, like Cardoon, she has a heart, and she would have given it some food.
Yeah, yeah, she does give the creature food.
And possibly got stuck with it.
It does seem that way.
And that is how animals often happen. You know, you feed them once, and then they're yours.
You got a pet for life.
That's true.
Isn't that a book about feed a mouse a cookie?
That is a popular book when I was a kid.
Can't remember the moral
when
of the
story. When you give a mouse a cookie, you know, then he wants more and more and more.
Well, that's basically what's happened with this little ferret creature.
That's true.
So, anyway, so then, of course, we get Mando and Baby Yoda, them arriving in the very damaged ship, the Razor Crest.
Very good, Chili.
And they arrive. And I just love, like, Cara Dune, she's just, like, cheesing. Like, she's so happy to see Mando. And they see, I love that she, again, kind of like me, who doesn't have the most maternal instincts necessarily, but she learned to really appreciate little baby Yoda. And she, you know, had even grabbed his ears at the end of last season. But she went over and touched him as soon as he came and kind of said hello. But then what really cracked me up was Greef Karga. He's just like the proud grandfather of the child.
I told Michelle that's literally what I thought when I watched. I thought, oh, well, he's like the grandfather role now. Like, that is grandpa.
Like, he is. He's like, did he feed you well? He said yes. Did you hear him?
He's just like all loving him.
Which, of course, is so funny because talk about an about turn, considering he was going to turn him in and kill Mando.
I will say, I did have the thought, I didn't tell you this, watching this episode, you know, with Greef Karga. In it, I'm like, I don't know if we'll get a moment quite like last season to live up to. He's gonna eat me.
That was so golden. Because that's another thing. Carl Weathers playing Greef Karga, he adds so much humor to the show.
He does.
So that's another thing you realize you would miss when you get him back. He's just funny.
Yeah.
So he's just fantastic to have on the show.
Funny, and especially now he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the character, you know, just an outstanding individual.
Yeah, he's grandpa now.
He's just so likable.
He is. He's just likable. And speaking of that, Carl Weathers actually directed this episode. And Gina Carano was singing his praises of how well he did with all of them.
Well, and clearly he did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was beautiful. It was fun.
I think he should do another one.
Yeah. I mean, he did a fantastic job with it. But yeah, so then they're walking through the school. And something I didn't notice until I saw a picture on Twitter is there's actually a statue of IG-11 that someone has built in Nevarro.
So cool.
You know, as kind of a memorial to IG-11, who, of course, sacrificed himself, and in doing so, saved the city.
I mean, he deserves a memorial.
He deserved that memorial.
I mean, so he took one for the team.
He did take one for the team. It was very, very touching.
It was.
Rest in peace, IG-11.
We love you.
You live on in our hearts.
Forever. Always.
Yes, always. And as they say, no one's ever really gone. So
that's right.
But yes, it was, I thought that was cool to see that in the background. I didn't notice it the first time. In fact, I didn't notice it till someone pointed out on Twitter in a still shot
and
of it.
And I didn't until she told me.
Yeah, but that's cool. Now, when I watch it a third time, I'll definitely pick that up. But then they walk in, and you see, they walk into the place where Baby Yoda infamously, you know, put up his hands, used the Force, and stopped the fire and did the flip. And now that area, which was a bar, has now been turned into a school.
Very nice.
And you have a droid just like C-3PO teaching all the kids about, you can hear about the Republic, and you can only imagine they're teaching them about the war and the Empire and things like that.
I think I would prefer to have a droid teacher compared to the some of them that I had.
I would definitely rather have C-3PO.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she seemed like a nice droid teacher in this one.
She did. I mean, C-3PO, that type of droid, I mean, that's just those units are just very helpful.
Yes, they are.
I mean, I would take one. I mean, they're super helpful. But then, of course, Mando, they tell him, we'll leave him here, he'll be safe. And it's interesting, it's when Cara Dune says, like, I assure you. Basically,
Or like, on my life.
Yeah, basically, I don't know if she says on my life, but basically, like, I promise, like, you.
Take my word.
Yeah, he'll be fine. And that's when Mando's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
So he leaves them. And then we get the hysterical scene with Baby Yoda. If there's something I didn't know I needed in my life, It's Baby Yoda.
She's going to say this every week, every time he does a new move.
It's Baby Yoda sitting at a school desk in school. I didn't know I needed that, but I needed it. So.
And me, of course, and once again, watching it, that's become our Friday thing. We watch it in the morning separately, and then we come together and watch it with my daughter after school. And, you know, of course, she's sitting there going, oh. You know, we have this way we do it. It's kind of embarrassing, but me and her.
I mean, he's just so cute. And then, of course, Baby Yoda has been hungry all season. We missed that. Well, really quick, I want to address that when they're on the ship before it moves to Cardoon, I believe, or maybe after. Maybe it's after. But anyways, where Din Djarin Mando lifts his helmet and drinks soup with Baby Yoda, who's sitting there eating soup.
Yes, yeah.
And you notice Baby Yoda looks up like,
am I going to get to see his face?
Yeah, like he wants to see his face. Like, so it almost makes you wonder, had he not done that even before?
Yeah, was this a new thing?
Yes, and maybe him meeting Bo-Katan and them taking their helmet off, maybe is making him begin to loosen up a little bit, possibly.
Maybe there is another way.
Yeah. A not such rigid way that allows you to eat in public way. So we'll see where that goes. But back to Baby Yoda. He's hungry, and this kid has, it looks like, delicious macaroons.
Yes.
And, I mean, just chilling, eating some blue macaroons in class. And Baby Yoda's like, like
trying to get his attention. And then it's so cute when he finally holds his hand out. Like, do you not get what I'm wanting? Will you give me
one? He's like, give it to me. And the little kid, I mean, we all had one of these kids in our class, guys.
The stingy ones.
No. Like, it's mine.
It's like, I've got a full pack, but I can't spare one.
Yeah, no. Just so, like, it's just the way kids do. And Baby Yoda was like, no one says no to my cuteness.
No.
So Baby Yoda just, you see him begin to use the Force, and then just,
he's like, I'm going to work this out.
Yeah, and then just shoom. And the kid looks over, and Baby Yoda's just in there eating, looking at him. Doesn't even try to play it off, just looks at him as he makes the macaroon.
Because I don't think he means anything by it. Like, it's just, you know, very basic. Like, I want that food. You know, I'm not trying to wrong you. It's just, I'll get what I need.
Like, I want it. It looks good, and I'm going to eat it.
You said no, I tried one way, we'll go around another way.
So, like Anakin in Attack of the Clones, he used the Force to send, I think, like a pear to Padme. We now get Baby Yoda using the Force to get a macaroon. And you know what? In all fairness, macaroons are really good. So, I don't blame Baby Yoda for using the Force for that purpose. So,
it's Force food.
Yeah, it is Force food. But that whole scene, I mean, it genuinely cracked me up watching it, like, both times. I mean, it's hysterical.
So cute.
It is. Just, they're pulling out amazing Baby Yoda moments this season. I mean, they fantastic. Are. In fact, if there's one negative of this episode, it's we didn't get enough Baby Yoda.
Yeah, just need a little more Baby Yoda.
But I still enjoy the episode so much, it was fine.
Yes.
Because I love the other two characters that were in this so much.
Me too.
So, of course, then we get the mission, and we see that the guy that Mando captured at the very beginning of episode chapter one.
It's fun to see him again.
It is, because he was a humorous character.
And he is, yeah.
So, he's humorous, and it does seem, I guess, in second watch that he might have been the one who tipped off the Republic soldiers to come.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if that was how you took it.
Yes, because I think as they walk in, he kind of gets off and he might have been communicating with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, so of course, all of them.
Maybe he's still a little salty about that carbonite business.
I think he is salty about that business. And so anyways, he's working off basically his debt to Greef Karga. Who also, of course, Cara Dune is now the marshal of the town. Greef Karga is running the town. It looks great. But they have one problem. Yes. There's an old Imperial base that they realize that's where they came from last time. And they want Mando's help because, guys, that's the pattern of the show.
I was laughing, telling Michelle, like, Michelle, what happened with Mando this time? And then she started, she knew where I was going with that.
At least this time it was for really good friends. So
yes.
That's a plus. And they fully fix the ship.
Did a bang-up job in a good way on his ship.
Yeah, not a bang-up. Yeah, they did an awesome job on his ship. So it was, so at least that worked out. So, of course, that's when they all head off, all four of them. With the, I forget his name, the character that he froze.
The blue guy.
The blue guy.
The fish guy.
The fish guy, yes. And okay, so they get off, they go there, and of course they get in the base, And in classic imperial places, you know, there's the spot where if you fall off, you're going to fall down to your death.
You know, I told Michelle, why they designed it that way, I really don't understand.
It's like,
yeah, let's make where someone has to go to do buttons and controls on things. Let's make it on a thing that goes down like 30,000 feet, and let's not put a rail.
And you know what?
And give them about 2 feet.
Emperor Palpatine might have thought that was a good idea until he was going down the shaft. And then he probably thought, this was a bad idea. Why did we make the ships this way?
A little drafty on that way down.
It is. So, of course, they...
It is.
So, of course, they get it to where the lava's going to blow it up. And as they're going through is where we get kind of some neat pieces. Because this episode is not just...
I was just thinking how funny it would be.
What?
If Kesha came on. And it was like,
this place is about to blow. Do you guys see? I knew what she was going to say before she said it.
We know each other too well.
Yes, yeah. That would have fit in this case, okay, guys? To have Kesha blow.
But it really would have not fit. What? It would have been funny. Because they'd be like, they're playing Kesha.
We're like, where'd this come from? What happened to John Williams?
They're like, we're a spice.
We're like, we knew the Mandalorian music is really modern and different from
but not like that.
But not Kesha. But that song did fit, okay? In this scene, because it is about to blow.
Very much so.
But they stumble across this room where they've got the guys just like Dr. What was his name?
Dr. Evil.
Was it Kushner? I forget his name.
Yeah, I mean, of course he was in the first season.
Yes. And
he seemed like he wasn't like the worst guy.
But
he's just kind of employed by bad people and wants to get him out.
I think he's so intrigued by his science, he would go there if he needs to. Because as he says, of course, they find a record. Well, first they shoot the guys and they're like, blow out the machine so they can't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And at this point, we see these in these like tanks, it looks like clone like bodies. And one of them really looks like kind of a Snoke.
Not creepy or anything.
No, one of them really looks like Snoke, like the scar through the head. And of course, we know, and we kind of discussed this, I believe, last episode. I really do believe they are setting this up to very loosely connect it to the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Snoke and Palpatine's plan. I do think they're going there.
Yeah.
And I think you see that in this episode probably. And then we find out from the recording that they have been injecting the child, Baby Yoda's blood, into these bodies or these people, and they keep dying. Like, yeah. They can't handle the amount of... midichlorians that Baby Yoda has.
Dang, she's deep into some science.
Well, and so that's the first time we've heard
impressed.
That's the first time we've heard about those since The Phantom Menace, when they talked about Anakin's count and Yoda's count, the OG Yoda. So that's kind of interesting. So we see that, which is all what we all kind of expected, but now it's just totally confirmed why they needed the child. They need his blood. So they can begin to, I guess, clone and create maybe a super soldier, or maybe this is for Palpatine's purposes. Well, I'm sure we'll find out, but it is for cloning purposes. And that was a cool shot when they look and it's like, and Kara,
like, what is this?
Yeah, Kara's like, break, we need to know, this is a lab.
Yeah.
And she was like, you need to get into that computer system.
She's like, this is some Stranger Things Hawkins up in here.
She's like, Hawkins lab in Star Wars?
Who knew?
And so they're able to get that info, but that was a cool scene. I think that will definitely come into play moving forward in the future. And so then they have to, of course, escape with all these stormtroopers coming everywhere. And Mando, Kara's like, because they find out they find out that Moff Gideon is alive. So now they know. And at that point, I was like, the child. Like, yes. I had a genuine concern, like, because they're gone.
Yeah, because it does kind of play it that way, like, when he wants to get out of there, obviously. Because he's like, whoa, you know, all of a sudden. You know, and I told Michelle, I'd forgotten, of course, we as the audience knew he was alive. But it's like, I had to remember, they didn't realize that he was alive. They thought he was gone.
No, the only one, and that plays back to last episode, Bo-Katan knew he was alive, but she didn't relay with Mando. They don't have a connection. They don't, again, their paths are going to collide.
Yeah.
Moth Gideon wants the child, who's with Mando, and Bo-Katan wants the Darksaber, who's with Moff Gideon. So, pshoom, like they're going to collide.
I think that's going to be exciting.
That is going to be exciting. But, so you generally get nervous, and Kara's like, jet back, like, we'll be behind you, basically. You can get there faster. So, of course, Mando's able to take off in that awesome jetpack, and then it's just Kara, Greef, and the blue guy trying to escape. And
we lovingly call the blue guy.
And this scene, of course, Greef Karga cracks me up a few times in it, but you just see how awesome, again, Cara Dune is. Like, the blue guy's like, we're done. Like we're not going to get out of here. And she's like, have a little faith. Like, and just kind of takes off to that. And they set it up that he mentioned, you know how much money you could get for that on the black market?
Right.
When you're walking in.
Yeah.
That kind of cool, I don't know. It was almost like a Star Wars ship. Tank.
Yeah.
That kind of speeder tank type thing. And so she, of course, backs it up. And I love, if you guys watch it again, the look on Cara Dune's face.
Yes.
When they know, like, she's about to take us over the cliff in this. And she just, like, is, like, giddy.
She
like,
is living her best life.
Like, she loves it. And they're, like, as they're going down, like, oh, and Cara's, like.
She just got, like, a smile of ecstasy on her face.
Like, she's just loving it. Every second of it. And that whole chase scene, I thought that was a wonderful chase scene.
Yes.
Between Greef being able to gun some down, like, I got it. And then Kara, I just love when she's like, shoom, just like. And she
she's
just,
like, woo!
Yeah, she just, it just excites her so much to kill Imperials. Like,
Kara, it's a great pleasure.
Like, Cara Dune gets no greater pleasure in life than killing Imperials.
Truly.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's what makes her happy in
she's
life.
She's like, it's what I'm living for, really.
It really is what she's living for. And so that whole scene's awesome. And then I genuinely got concerned for him. Okay, it is hysterical when Greef finally gets the last one, just like, it happens to be in a sight, just boom, and he just poof.
And the guy turns around, like, right before.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
He's like, oops.
And that whole scene kind of reminded me, again, of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Chapter 2 reminded me was when Mando was following the gosh, I just went brain dead. When he's following the big
I'm trying to think.
Ship thing in Chapter 2.
Yeah.
The Jawa ship. I can't think of the Jawa ship's name. But anyways, it reminded me, that kind of had an Indiana Jones vibe. And then this, I think just the where they were and kind of the being in the tank, it kind of slightly reminded me of Indiana Jones, slightly.
But I get that vibe. I see what you're saying.
So then, of course, their ship gets messed up as he is able to take out one of the TIE fighters that are now chasing them. And so at that point, they're just sitting ducks. They've got two TIE fighters, three TIE fighters chasing them left, and the gun's gone. And I was like, oh gosh, like,
I didn't worry. I knew they'd be okay. I was kind of surprised when you told me you were worried.
Well, and I think the reason why,
like, they're not taking them out.
I mean,
like, maybe the blue guy could, something tragic could happen.
Like, I would really hope they don't, because to me, this is the game. You got to keep them. But that is why it is good, in a way, that they allowed IG-11 and Quill to die. It raises the stakes. You're like, well, who else are they going to let die?
Right.
So,
but I think, once again, I hate that we always compare to Stranger Things. Well, it's one of our other favorite shows. But, you know, there are characters they do allow to die. Kind of same thing in that show.
Yeah, but, I mean, Quill was in as many episodes as Cara Dune.
That's true.
I mean, he was pretty vital to season one.
And he was a great guy.
He was.
Like Bob.
Yeah. So I got a little nervous, but then of course we get the Razor Crest, boom, 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 and blows them up. And
that's
then,
another great Star Wars thing. I know it's not Star Wars, but it's like right at the last minute, like a friend comes in to save the day.
In a ship.
It's just like, you know, the relief that you would feel.
Yes, it's awesome. And again, it cracked us up as Baby Yoda, he's on the ride of his life. Woo!
That was so cute. Like, it was a roller coaster to him.
And then he's still eating those macaroons. He took the whole thing with him when he left.
He's like, nothing's going to slow me down.
So, literally, as they do, you know, he takes out all of them. I was literally thinking, man, he's probably going to get sick eating those macaroons and all this. And then, Ooh. And what does Mando say? He's like, great.
He's like, oh, you know, and he turns around and like cleans him up. I'm like, the life of a parent.
Baby, understand. Mando needs some. We all need them. I like to keep them in my house. They get everything. They get stains out like no other.
Little wet wipes.
Yeah, the little wet wipes.
Yeah, they're coming very handy.
He needs some wet wipes for the child. So that
more spit ups will happen.
They will. So that would have been fantastic.
Yes.
But yeah, it was hysterical. And at this point, two cars, like, woo! Like, when she sees them take out the last one, they're just all so happy. And at that point, he tells them, you know, he's got somewhere to go. And that's kind of, he's off from them and off to the next place. So then we get, I think we get Cara Dune next, don't we? Yeah, because the last thing's the Imperials.
Yes, yeah. After Greef Karga has talked to the...
The Republic soldier.
Which he clearly is, like, leaving some stuff out.
Yes, yeah. He's clearly leaving why the Razor Crest was on Nevarro. And so, again, we've got one of them, not Dave Filoni, the other X-Wing pilot that was in Chapter 2 is shown up and kind of investigating. And
he likes to do that.
He does, and I'll get into that and some things I think could happen. But anyways, he begins to talk to Cara Dune, and we get just a little bit of a nugget of more of her story when he talks about, you're from...
Alderaan.
Alderaan. And he says that he served. He said, did you lose anyone? And she says, I lost everyone.
Yeah.
So you truly feel for the character,
right,
that she truly... You know, you can see why she would join an army and just kind of make a new life, because everything was taken.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's rough.
It is.
And then he clearly, so I do, I guess I can just say it here. I believe, well, no, I'll get into it later in a second. But he leaves her, I don't know if it was a calling card, or it almost looked like...
That's a nice card.
Yeah, it almost looked like a Medal of Honor, like from the Rebellion. And he leaves it there, and she just kind of looks at, as she's feeding that creature, and she just kind of looks at and takes in, because he said, I believe there's some stuff going on out here, and we need...
Help from the local people.
We need help from the local people.
Yeah, and he compliments her as a soldier.
Yes. So he's clearly kind of seeking if she will help. You know, whether not, even if she doesn't join, just help, you know, inform him and kind of let him know what's going on. So then we get the final shot is the Imperials, and we find out that they have a track, that one of the people fixing the ship was a traitor, and they have a tracking beacon on the Razor Crest. Moth Gideon now knows that he does, in fact, still have the child. And you see... It almost looked like, I've heard someone say from Star Wars Legends, it almost looked like Death Troopers. So I don't know what was, I could never really quite make out. And you guys let us know in the comments if you made out what's in the room with Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like, is it Mandalorian type armor that they made
into? It did look like some kind of armor.
Yeah. Like, so what does he have there, guys? You guys let us know. I'm sure I'll figure out what people think as I begin to listen to some stuff, but I wasn't really sure even watching that, like, because you couldn't see it good. Exactly.
It was like nice lockers.
Yeah, it was like,
you know, with like,
but the lockers were almost blocking me from really seeing what was in the locker.
Yeah.
But the main part we know is they're locked onto the Razor Crest, and they know that he has Baby Yoda. And it ends.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, and I mean, Moff Gideon's such a creeper, so...
He's top choice grade A creeper.
Yes. So that is kind of it for this episode. I absolutely love this episode.
Me too.
So now we move into our final segment, which is...
We like to call...
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
On the Mandalorian. Possibly next week on the Mandalorian.
A teeny possibility that next week...
Hey, last week we got pretty much everything right.
You're pretty okay. On.
So...
I mean...
Okay, so next week's episode... is directed and written by Dave Filoni.
Ooh.
And it is called The Jedi. So I think it's pretty safe to say we're going to see Ahsoka at some point in this episode.
Just the title and what it's been leading to, I'm like, this very well be the best episode yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good. And I wonder, so here's possibilities. Will there be a first encounter with the Imperials and or Moff Gideon with Ahsoka, and you get a first lightsaber battle between the Darksaber and her sabers?
Yes.
That's a possibility. maybe not. Maybe next week's more peaceful and it's more her explaining things. More kind of like, say, Yoda at Dagobah. I mean, I don't know. It could go that route. But I think it is safe to say we're going to get Ahsoka at some point in next week's episode.
Yes.
And so I'm just kind of intrigued. I just can't wait to see what they're going to do with Ahsoka and how this will look in live action. Because Ahsoka is a difficult one. It's going to be difficult to master the look of.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be... I mean, I always thought...
I think it can definitely be done.
With a mix of practical and CGI,
yeah.
I would say. I think it can be done, but we're all nervous because it's such a beloved character.
Right.
But I'm still...
I mean, look at Avatar and things like that.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I'm just still so excited. I mean, I do think Rosario Dawson, when I heard... When someone actually first mentioned her, way before she was cast for this, I was like, I can see that.
Yeah, I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, like her body type, everything.
Yeah.
Like her face even, you can just, it just works.
Right.
So I'm intrigued to see that. But here's what I was going to say that I stopped myself. So I'm now beginning to believe with this Rebel X-Wing pilot planting that thought in Cara Dune's head, and him now being there twice, and him knowing Mando's a pretty good guy, I think he's picked that up, whether he'd want to admit that or not. I believe in the final battle, I believe they're going to help out. I don't know if he'll bring more Republic help, or it would just be him and Dave Filoni, but I think he's beginning to piece things together, and I believe that could play. I'm starting to feel like they're working towards an epic finale of the season.
Yes.
Like a very yes. large-scale battle.
That's what I see.
And if so, I think he may bring the Republic in some level, maybe right at the end, who knows, to help out.
Yes.
I think he's going to come back into play. I really do, in some way.
Yeah.
And Cara may even begin to feed him some information, not in a spy way, in a way of trying to take down what the Imperials are doing.
Well, and I think it could be good for her character. Like,
yeah.
Just give more a sense of purpose. I mean, I think she's already doing great right now.
As the Marshal.
Yes, as the Marshal, but just more, you know, kind of broaden her horizons of ways she could help.
Because I'm starting to believe that everyone we've met in these episodes is going to come in to help in the final episode. Like, I really
yeah.
do. I think Greef Karga and Cara, of course, are going to be
maybe
in
not
it.
The fish guy.
But
yeah.
maybe. I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he can help with something technical.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I believe we will see the Marshal Cobb Vanth again from
yes.
the first episode. I think he could come into play and help.
Yes.
I think the Republic soldiers could come into play. And, of course, Bo-Katan is going to come into play because she wants the Darksaber. So I just think they're working towards a very epic, and maybe Ahsoka comes into play. I don't know. We'll see how next week goes.
I mean, it might be an Avengers moment.
It really... Avengers assemble. I mean, it really might be. So, but I think regardless, this episode, seeing kind of the plot behind the remnants of the Imperials, it's beginning to make connections and a bigger story, and it's just getting really interesting. I mean, I've loved the season. I just think it's just getting more and more interesting every week.
Yes,
so,
I agree. I think it's done an excellent job building, and I think we're going to look back and be like, okay, now that makes sense. And that, oh,
yes.
Oh, and that I didn't think really tied in, now I see it does, or him or her, whoever, whatever it is.
Because what if even what I'm saying, the whole point, I know people kind of blew off episode 2. What if the whole point is because, like I said, those X-Wing, that guy comes into play and kind of saves him at the end with maybe bringing the Republic? I mean, who knows? Like,
yes.
It could. I think, again, we trust Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni that nothing is wasted. There is no such thing as filler. Like, they're building something all the time, whether it's character development or these pieces that are going to, down the road, come back into play. Nothing goes wasted.
Yes.
So, I'm just super excited. I love this episode. Absolutely love seeing Cara and Greef back, and Carl Weathers did a fantastic job directing this. And like you said, he should get to do another episode.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic job. But I think that's it. I think we're good.
Well, one thing I wanted to say real quickly. I always say you say real fast. But quickly is, you know, I think it's good to remember to come together as Star Wars lovers and realize it's okay if people... you know, say Gina Carano that gets a lot of hate on Twitter or whatever, it's okay if we have different perspectives on things.
Yeah.
And we can include everyone. And just because someone is labeled something does not mean they hate X, Y, and Z. I can say that certainly is not the case for, you know, some people or for myself. So
I would like, say for most people,
for
really.
Most people, really.
Yeah. So. I mean, most things honestly come down to policies you want or don't want. And it, you know, it's not about things like that. But
so let's try and tolerate each other and love each other.
Yeah, I mean,
and
let's
be the change that we wish to see.
Yeah. Let's genuinely, you know, practice tolerance towards one another and different thoughts. But
it's okay to have different thoughts.
Yeah, it really is.
And it doesn't mean you hate people.
No, it most definitely does not mean that. You know, whether you put your pronouns in your bio or don't, that's up to you. And it should be up to every person.
And
whether
it doesn't
they do
mean
that
if you
not.
Don't, you're mocking people that do.
No, it absolutely does not. So Natalie kind of closed it out on a serious note. But
I love you all.
Yes.
Just trying to bring the
but
community
yes, it's,
together.
It's a big galaxy, and we have to, I believe in free speech, and we have to be open to different thoughts.
Absolutely.
Because without diversity of thought, there is no genuine diversity, people.
Exactly.
That is the diversity that really matters in many ways. But anyways, that is it for this episode of Force of White Entertainment. You can catch us next time. Next week we'll be back. If you're listening on podcasts, we'll try to have a podcast episode up either Friday night or Saturday, but we will be back next week, Saturday, doing just a live version of this, discussion. But tomorrow, for those of you on YouTube, join us at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we will again be joined by Star Wars Sessions. And you don't want to miss
that.
Which
I'm very excited about. And I told Michelle I kind of hated not doing a live stream tonight because I love interacting with you guys. But, you know, we are doing it tomorrow, so I'll get my fix.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So definitely check us out there. But go ahead and hit the subscribe button. Give the video a thumbs up. And let us know below about some of the things maybe we missed or the things we had questions about. And what you think of this episode. You know, let us know below what you thought.
Were you happy to see the gang back together?
Yes, were you as happy as I was to see the gang back together? But anyways, you can reach out to us if you want to on Twitter and Instagram, Force of Light Entertainment. And we appreciate you all. And again, join the conversation. And next time, let's talk some more Mandalorian. And remember, guys, this is the way.
This is the way.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.